John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh, the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Further down, please, verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is He of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with or in water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And I bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Very interesting, the next verse, 42. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus is the Christ. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Peter findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter you shall see the heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now God will bless His word. A number of times our brethren have said from this platform that we should get to know God and get to know the Lord Jesus better. There are some words in the Epistle to Hebrews that occur 13 times. Some people don't like you to make an issue out of this here, but it's perhaps suggested. The word let us, the people, Jesus, Jesus Christ, Christ, and better, 13 times. Put all those together and you have it this way. Let us, the people, know Jesus better. And how do we know him better? First of all, we must read about him. Christ is in all the scriptures. The Lord Jesus said to the Jews, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But they are they which testify of me. It was sad when they were on the road to Emmaus. They were traveling down from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they didn't understand that Jesus was the Messiah and that he would be put to death and rise again. And Jesus himself drew near and went with them, and they told him what had happened in Jerusalem. And here's what he said, O slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So the first thing we need to do is to read the scriptures. Genesis to Revelation, 66 books. Takes time to do that. 150 Psalms. But if we read the Bible consecutively and seek to find Christ in the scriptures, God will reveal himself to us. Now it's possible as we read the Epistle to the Ephesians, we might find that a difficult book to understand, but the Apostle Paul says this, when you read, you will understand my knowledge in the mystery of the Christ. And there he explains that mystery. That in other ages, that it wasn't made known unto the sons of men, the truth that Christ and the church are one body. Jews and Gentiles form one body, the church. Now that's not the subject of the little message. Secondly, we should talk to him. It's a two-way street. He speaks to us in his word, and we speak to him in prayer, spending time in communion with God. There are many references we could give in the Bible. And then we should speak to others about him. That's perhaps one of the reasons I read through the Gospel of John. Sharing. This is what fellowship is all about. Peter says, you are a chosen generation. You are a holy priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. A peculiar people, in order that you should show forth the excellencies of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He said, you are, and you should, because of what we are, a holy nation, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. We in our lives should show forth the excellencies of him who had called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Not only by our life, but by our lips. It's interesting, isn't it, that there were two disciples heard John speaking, and they followed Jesus. Because John, it says, John looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And there were two disciples that followed Jesus. And one of those disciples was Andrew. And Andrew first findeth his own brother Simon, and he brought him to Jesus. And then Philip findeth Nathanael. I had a letter just a little while ago from my sister in Ireland, which she told me about a man who went to a Sunday school that I went to. His parents were in our assembly. He had retired and he lived in Ocala in Florida. I was in Florida. I couldn't find his phone number. The operator couldn't find it, but I had his address, and we didn't get to visit him. But when I got home, I wrote to this man. And he answered by telephone right away. And he told me what had happened. He's 78 years of age. 2 years ago, a man knocked his door. And he said, "I don't want to buy anything." He said, "I'm not here to sell anything. I want to tell you about the Lord Jesus." He said, "Come in." My wife and I were just talking about that the other day. And that man had the privilege of bringing, pointing them both to Christ. They both got saved. And when he phoned me, he says, "I'm getting baptized. My wife and I are getting baptized next Lord's Day." That was a week ago. I said, "I'd like to be the man that knocked your door and brought you the message of the gospel." Well, we could have that privilege. Andrew first finded his own brother Simon. He found him, he sought him, and he brought him to Jesus. Every believer has an anointing. He has the capacity to know God. And he has the capacity to know the Word of God. And the capacity to know and judge evil. You have an anointing from the Holy One, John says, and you know all things. So this enables the believer to possess a knowledge of the truth. So having the Spirit of God within us, we can understand and enjoy the Word of God. Now we know the Lord Jesus Christ initially in salvation, in regeneration. We know Him as Savior. We know Him progressively in sanctification. As we live a life that's separate, set apart for God, and continue to read the Bible, and be an answer to the Lord's Prayer when He said, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is true." We're going to know Him finally in glorification when we see Him face to face. John says we shall like Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Paul's great desire was that he should know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, so we can know Him directly in communion, and we can know Him emancipatively in having the power of His resurrection, and we can know Him sympathetically, having fellowship with His sufferings. Now, our brothers, we bring before us the garments. And what we have in the Gospels, the Gospel record of the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So we can know the Lord Jesus photographically in the Gospels. As we read Matthew, we learn what Jesus said. There's a prologue, there's an epilogue, there are five discourses in Matthew. And we know we have the words of the Lord in all the Gospels, but preeminently in the Gospel of Matthew. It's what Jesus said. And we heard yesterday about Mark's Gospel, the perfect servant, what Jesus did. The servant, serving his Lord, his God. And then Luke's Gospel, how Jesus lived. The gentle man, the perfect man, walking in this earth, going about doing good and healing all the oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. And John's Gospel, who Jesus is, a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, when I was a young believer, a brother, Mr. Harry Lacy, came to our assembly and he put up a large chart, a dispensational chart. And I believe that's very important for young believers to get a panoramic view of the truth that is revealed in all the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, from eternity to eternity. Now in John chapter 1 we have the plan of the ages condensed. It starts off in verse 1 in the beginning. Augustine said that's a beginning which had no beginning. And in the last verses we have what we might call a millennium. The angels are ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And prior to that we have that wonderful occasion when the Lord Jesus will return and Israel will recognize him as their Messiah. Nathanael, an Israelite indeed in whom there's no guile, typical of Israel in the future. And they will recognize Jesus as the Son of God, the King of Israel. Wonderful time when they will repent. And when they will use the words that are recorded in Isaiah 53. We did esteem him smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. When they look on him whom they pierced, Calvary will be fresh in their minds and thoughts. Because I don't think it's a past tense verb in that verse 53. We could read it like this. He is wounded for our transgressions. He is bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. So in the first verse, we've got the beginning. In the third verse, we've got the creation. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In verse 14, we've got the incarnation. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And following that, we have Pentecost. John baptized with water, but there would be one coming after it who would be baptizing in the Holy Spirit. Suggestion of the coming of the Holy Spirit and the formation of the church. And as we said, we have the future recognition of Israel. In between the Lord's coming and the revelation of himself to the nation, there's a gap, there's a period. And we're in that period right now when we have the opportunity to bring others to Christ. The rapture's not in John's gospel, but the rapture precedes the coming of the Lord revealing himself to the nation. But in between, we find that there are those believers and they're bringing men to Christ, bringing others to Christ. Sometimes the Lord himself, the Lord himself we find in verse 43. Sometimes by direct revelation, the day following Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. So in this chapter we have the glory of his Godhead. He's God. We have the glory of his greatness, because all things have been made by him. We have the glory of his grace. He became flesh We have the glory of his grief. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We have the glory of his government. Because the angels, you see, ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You know, we find Christ in superseding the law in every chapter of John's Gospel almost. Don't we read the law was given by Moses? But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So the law gives way to grace and truth. The law was until Christ. And we see in this wonderful book, for instance, chapter 2, the temple gives way to the temple of his body. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will build it again. And we see empty water pots. Empty water pots of Judaism. Those water pots for ceremonial cleansing in the law. We have the new wine of the gospel. Those empty water pots were filled with water by the obedient servant and the one who had control over the liquids and the solids, the creator of the universe. Just by a word, he changed water into wine. He's able to make sad hearts glad. He's able to pour in the oil of joy for mourning. The earthly things give way to heavenly things, chapter 3. If I speak to you of heavenly things and you believe not, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Nicodemus should have known about the new birth, but he didn't. So, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Then we find Jacob's well in chapter 4, and it gives way to the springing well. He that drinketh this water will thirst again. He that drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. For the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the place, Jerusalem, gives way to the spiritual worship. The Lord said, you worship you know not what. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. And we worship the Father. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So it's not a material temple. It's spiritual worship. And we have the privilege of entering into the holiest at any moment of any day, any time. And chapter 5, you see the Jewish ritual, the Sabbath, the angels, and the pool. And a man for 38 years sitting at that pool. He was impotent. And that's the word that's used in Romans 5. When we were yet impotent. After all a long period of law. When we were yet weak. In due time Christ died for the ungodly. So here's a man for 38 years, typical of Israel under the law. And that ritual gives way to his word. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And we heard about the manna yesterday. Well, the manna gives way to the bread of life. It's interesting our brother quoted those words. He'll probably be telling us about it again today. The Lord Jesus said, the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And here's what they said, evermore, give us this bread. He said, I am the bread of life. That made a difference. They wanted the bread, but they couldn't accept that he was the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. The bread of God is what he is to God. The bread of life is what he is to us. And the living bread is what he is in himself in contrast to the man. Your fathers did eat manna and are dead. But I am the living bread which giveth life unto the world. In chapter 7, I'm going to be down here in 5 minutes. Leave our bread in lots of time. In chapter 7, on the Feast of Tabernacles, that great day of the feast, Jesus Christ said, can you imagine using these words after feasting for 7 days? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his inwards will flow rivers of living water. When I was a young believer, I thought that was out of our inwards. I believe it's out of his inwards. This he spake of the Spirit, which was not yet, for Jesus was not yet glorified. Thank God for the rivers of living water that flow from the very side of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spear pierced his side. Forthwith came out blood and water. From that side is manifest the love and mercy of God that flows freely to us. There we find darkness fleeing from light. In John chapter 9, a man born blind. Never was heard that a man that was born blind would receive his sight. This man believed that Jesus was a sent one. He was obedient to his word. He heard those words, I am the light of the world. The Lord anointed his eyes with clay and a spittle. He said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he went, and he came seeing. He said, once I was blind, but now I see. And he had a revelation of the Lord. The Lord Jesus came to him and said, do you believe in the Son of God? Who is he that I might believe on him? It is he that talketh with thee. Obedience to the word of the Lord brings joy. Obedience to him will bring richness of blessing and further revelation of the person of Christ to our hearts. I like to think of the fold giving way to the flock. In chapter 10, the fold of Judaism, the fold has boundaries but no center. Jesus said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. That there may be one flock, one shepherd. Why am I in the assembly? Because of the shepherd. Shepherd in the midst of the flock. No boundaries, no laws, but the attractiveness of the Lord Jesus brings us together as a company of Lord's people. Chapter 11, death is banished by life. And I was thinking of John chapter 12, the supper we heard about earlier this morning. The Passover gives way to the supper. They made him a supper. They were gathered together to celebrate the victory that the Lord had gained in raising Lazarus from the dead. And then we've got the old commandment in chapter 13 gives way to the new commandment. What is the old commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. What's the new commandment? Love one another as I have loved you. Well, maybe we'll just leave it there. The time is gone. But, you know, God wants us to be enriched in the knowledge of himself. I will say this in closing. The knowledge of the Lord produces godly living, and this is what Peter tells us. And progress in godly living produces further knowledge. the better I know him, the better I shall live for him. And the better I live for him, the more fully I shall know him. Failure to persevere in the development of the Christian character leads to barrenness, unfruitfulness, and spiritual blindness. So, we can have mercy and peace multiplied to us by the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can know, we can escape the pollutions of this world by a full knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May God bless us.